Nice and dark. Now it's light. And on the seventh day, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
I'm Emily from Sex.
Why would you play Emily Sex? Hey, everybody.
Why would you overwrite my thunder drop?
It's Anderson. To my left, there is Mike Carani, also known as Mike Carano, and playing thunder drops.
You mean Mike Carolina?
Is Ty Ty, Tyler White. Welcome to the After Disaster. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Yeah, it is Thursday.
First show. First show in what seems like a long, long time.
Why does it seem that way?
Because it's been 14
days. Oh, it's been
2 weeks.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Haven't done one in 2 weeks. I did not do my job in there. So either we take 30 and I go in there and do my job so that we can take calls, or I sit in here with you and don't do that. It's your call.
I'm sure we got enough to talk about, right?
All right. No calls.
Wait.
You hear that call? There's none.
Yeah.
Why are you doing? Why are you taking pictures of me?
He took a stupid one of me earlier and posted it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, and he has some kind of like weird lens that he uses to make you look Cro-Magnum. I don't like it.
Cro-Magnum.
No, it's a regular show. It's a regular lens.
So let's talk a little bit about the show. This is the part of the show where we talk about the show.
Talking about the show on the show.
So last week.
That's all we do is talk about the show.
What do we do? We aired episode
zero.
That's right.
I didn't know it was titled episode zero until then.
Well, what else?
What do you? What does that mean?
Now was that? Am I mistaken?
We can
to
call
believe
it whatever we want.
I that know. Show was never aired, right?
It
never.
Did air. It aired, but it was, we didn't record it.
It was never posted.
Oh.
Or posted.
Yeah, it aired like now. A lot of people probably don't realize, but old television, old TV, like from the 50s and 60s, a lot of those great shows, they never taped them. Much like episode zero of the After Disaster.
That's freaky to think about that.
They just threw it out in the ethers, and they didn't have any devices to actually record them. And they're seen once, and that was it.
What's more amazing than
that's
that?
Crazy.
Is the story of one of my heroes, the balloon guy. Remember that guy in the 70s? That
nope.
Tied weather balloons to a lawn chair and launched himself over L.A. and he went into LAX airspace.
Yes, I do.
And he went 10,000 feet. Now, what are the odds that guy's conversation with the ground was recorded?
I've never thought about
almost
that.
Almost impossible. He communicated with his girlfriend and or wife, whatever she was, with a CB, and she had a ghetto, like a recorder, tape recorder, recording it and recorded
and
the entire conversation. Yes.
And you can find that now.
Crazy, right?
Where?
What are the odds? I don't know. I don't remember. It's almost
unlistenable.
Well, the
odds are 100% if they set it up that way. You know what I mean?
I mean, thinking back on it, like what are the odds you can find an audio recording of that? Because there are pictures of the guy.
Right. I remember hearing about him briefly. I forget where. It was like on a documentary I watched, perhaps.
I thought that was the greatest story I'd heard.
Okay, enough about Balloon Man. Let's go back to us.
He's dead now. He killed himself.
I would think that he would be dead because he's old.
No, he had mental problems.
Mm-hmm. You mean the guy that attached balloons to a chair and flew over the airport had mental
problems? A regular store-purchased lawn chair.
He watched up and he got very depressed.
The cops even came by twice while he was... It took him like 6 hours to blow them up. He started at 2 or 3 in the morning. Uh-huh. And the cops came by twice to ask what he was doing. He said he was doing an experiment and they went, okay, and left.
Yeah, it was a simpler time, Mike.
And then he launched... When he launched the gun, he was bringing a gun with him to shoot out the balloons. He dropped it as soon as he took off.
Oh, no. So now he's stuck up there.
You had one job to do, sir. Yeah. Just hold on
he
to
He flew
your...
directly into LAX airspace.
That's the first place he went.
It wasn't up to him.
Well, I know, but it's strange. Yeah. Like maybe that's how they picked it. Like they were just like gliding planes around back in the day, and then like wherever they land, they're like, let's just make this the airport.
The reason
that's
they found out he was up there was because a 747 reported a UFO. There's something up here.
Yeah, we got a good guy up here flying around.
We got a crazy guy in a lawn chair.
So for those of you who listened to last week's episode, perhaps let's say that there's a handful of people who never listened to the program before, and they tune in to episode zero. You'll notice a marked difference with this episode. A, Tyler is speaking a whole lot more.
And you guys are much funnier.
And, real quick, back to the balloon guy.
Oh, my God.
The reason I was obsessed with him for a long time is, you know why he was inspired to do that?
Because he saw Up in the future.
Balloons at Disneyland. That's what gave me the idea.
And that's what made you like him. That's how much you're into Disneyland.
No.
So if I murdered people, but I did it because I liked going to Disneyland and murdering.
Tyler, that's a stretch, okay?
Whatever.
I'm your number one fan right here.
If he captured women and tied them up because he was obsessed with the ride at Disneyland, what is that, the log jammer? What is that?
Where the one where they tie the women up.
No, they tie the little bunny up. That's crazy.
Splash Mountain.
I don't like Splash Mountain.
If you did that with small children.
I like your interpretation. The ride where they tie the little bunny up.
That's what I see at the end every time, and it freaks me out.
First things first.
I was just singing that song that stupid mom rabbit sings.
Oh, my God, this is going to be a
rabbit.
That's not worthy of this show.
We need to thank Jennifer.
Thank a listener and a guest of the program, Miss Jennifer Unlockets, who gave us some very fine cigars as far as
we're just moving on to this now?
Well, because Mike is steering the show. So
I'll stop. I'll go back to the back of the boat.
No, balloon guy.
Where us black people belong. I let myself in, so I'm just not racist.
What does that mean? You let yourself in?
If I say us black people, it's not racist.
Okay. So, yes, thank you very much, Unlockets, for those fine cigars from Little Havana, where you now live in Florida. Let's get back to us.
We look at the box. It says Kmart. What? Made in Los Angeles.
Did you guys listen to last week's program?
I listened to about some of it.
Hated it.
I listened to the whole thing.
Did you really?
Hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I hated me. A lot.
You are terrible.
I was an awful person. How have I changed so much on air? On this.
I hated me.
No, you were fine. You're the exact same.
I was a little more enthusiastic,
Mike. But a good way. You had zest for life.
I was talking to Jillian. Those were the days. I had a chip on my shoulder the whole time. I was talking like this. I'll be here. Whatever. I'll do this thing. I was so defensive about everything. So quick to prove, I'm above it. I don't care.
Are you saying we should press that into a vinyl LP and sell it for charity?
I'm just shocked that I could have been such a fucking asshole at the beginning of this here lovely program, which I enjoyed thoroughly. Why was
I? I didn't notice you were an asshole. I probably only listened to 30 minutes.
And you probably only listened to yourself.
I was very surprised by the fact that you didn't talk much.
I didn't
Tyler.
Talk much for the first 20
And you know what was funny? You know what I did pick up on is Tyler was, even back then when we had nothing, because it was episode zero, so we had no callbacks at all. Tyler was still trying to create callbacks with another podcast, which was Bill Burr's podcast. Two or three times during the episode, he brought up,
you did it the first time.
And I did it, but then you glommed on. You're like, oh, yes, that's something we can call back to, even though it's not our podcast. Mm-hmm. It's somebody else's. Oh, it was cringeworthy.
The only thing about that episode, I haven't listened to the entire thing, but...
It's not worth, actually, you know what? It gets a little better the second half, because we forget that we're on that doing a show for a while.
That episode is unique in regards to all the other episodes, because we didn't talk about the show.
We did. Half the show was
wait,
what
reflect.
Should we do on
We didn't
the show?
Reflect on other shows.
Well, we couldn't, Michael.
That's what I mean.
Okay. All right.
We're going to bring back the
Cut
Why
that
We
part
Suck
out, I just said.
Segment.
What now?
Mike's idea for the show was every week we'd just do Why We Suck.
Keeping it positive.
Mm-hmm.
Motivated.
Right. Very good.
I did like the comments that people posted about what their favorite part was.
People were freaking out that I posted that. They were very... should we just tell them why we posted that?
Whatever. The show... What's happening? What? I'm sorry. I'm reading.
Yeah,
about
tell
them.
Doing?
I just got a text from the wife who's saying that one of our dogs is on near death at home. It's terrible.
What?
Really?
So, okay, it's the bad one.
Do you want to call her?
I don't know. Because it came in a half hour ago.
Oh, that's right.
Now I'm self-conscious that I'm sounding like I'm trying to be too cool.
Near
I'm
death? Like sick?
He's disoriented and he can't stop throwing up. That's not a good sign.
It doesn't sound good.
No. It's all right, though. What are you going to do?
Did he eat some of your drugs?
I'm thinking that's what might happen. Now, they're not my drugs. Now, let's talk about shit that's happened since. Because I'm sure that, it's been a while. We haven't seen each other in a couple weeks. I'm sure that a lot has happened.
I haven't seen you guys since I went to Laughlin.
It's been such nice times.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
How was it?
It's good. A lot of old people.
Yeah?
Yeah, right? That's what I said. It's all the cool old people.
Laura and I were walking around we checked in. We checked our bags, checked into the room, then we walked down along the river walk, and she's like, everyone is staring at me. I was like, that's probably because you're about 40 years younger than everybody
here.
Yeah,
they're jealous. They're envious.
And you're not wider than you are tall.
Last time I was there, I had a mohawk. I was very drunk the whole time, and I had the time of my life. And it was a bunch of old people. The old ladies would come up. Oh, look at his mohawk. It's so cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
I felt pretty happy. It was pretty sweet.
The room service at our hotel, you could get breakfast for $6.
That's the best.
It was like Denny's could deliver to you, basically.
We did an episode of the After Disaster on that river there at that town, Laughlin.
I went to the shores where you recorded that fateful episode.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. Was there a plaque?
There was, actually, which was weird.
All right, that's the show. Welcome back.
Yep. How about you guys?
I'm seriously considering this idea of taking an episode and pressing it into vinyl and selling it.
Because, you know, now that we've made shirts, we might as well move on to the next thing.
All right, Tyler. Type in to the instant replay there, PAB. See what comes up. See what happens there. Pretty sweet, right?
What is that?
That's a little band called the Moist Boys, which I went to go see last Friday. Because why? It's two main guys are in the band. One guy, I don't know his name, Dickie Moist. And then there's Mickey Moist. And Mickey Moist has another name, which is Dean Ween, because he's the other half of Ween as well.
Got it. Where'd you see him?
And I saw him at this place called The Satellite in Hipsterville, Silver Lake. And I got to say, I've been there once before to see band himself, Daniel Johnston. From the Devil and Daniel Johnston, yes. Which is a fantastic documentary, one of the greatest
documentaries
ever. And the wife and I, Jillian and I, went to see Daniel Johnston there years ago. It used to be called Spaceland.
Oh, you know what?
And before that, it was called Dreams. Which
I saw
like
Sleater
a big,
Kenny at Spaceland.
I could see Sleater Kenny playing there. It's definitely hipster. It's right in the middle of hipster land. And yep. It's actually where Beck got his start.
Yep.
And back in the 80s, I guess it was like, in the 70s, it was a huge gay joint. And they still have some stuff from the place when it was a gay joint, which is super cool. Like... the disco ball,
mm-hmm.
Apparently is original, and they have the original sign up top over the building. It
no
says Dreams. It says Dreams, and there's like stained glass right above the front door that says Dreams. Anyways, I was terrified because I have not seen anything Ween related since they broke up like 3 years ago. So this is the first time I was gonna be able to see.
Was it packed?
Diener. And long story, I was trying to buy tickets online. I couldn't. My sister and her husband were to take me so that I could drink and be an idiot. And I couldn't get tickets, so I went after work one night, and they were sold out. I went the night before to go buy tickets, like the night before, and they were sold out. Anyways, long story short, it was when it was torrential rains last week, and I went down there, and I parked a mile away because there was literally no parking in fucking town. It's horrible. I had to wade through rivers, Tyler, and gutters to get there, but I got in, and it was fantastic.
How'd you get in?
They had a couple tickets left, or so. I don't even think that they – I don't know. The place was definitely over capacity. It's a bar. And there was just hundreds of people. But
he doesn't live here, right?
No, he. So who I'm talking about is Mickey Machilano. I don't even know. As much as I love this man and Ween, I don't even know how to say his last name.
Is he the balding guy or the other guy?
The other guy. They couldn't be more different. I wanted to do this, too. Do a little dissertation on Ween because, like, that little clip right there of the Moist Boys, which...
That's irrelevant to us.
I know. I can't believe they wrote a song about this show.
It's pretty cool.
They couldn't sound... They're so fucking punk rock and, like, just white trash, crank. I mean, they still sing about, like, racist shit. And they're just completely different from what the other guy in Ween, Gene Ween, his little solo artist shit is. I don't have any examples, but it's so hippy-dippy. And the two of them together make the greatest band in the world. But here's where...
The Beatles?
Ween was the answer. Ween was the answer.
Mike, follow.
So it's strange when, you know, a band is like big in your head, but they're not big. And, you know, I've met Dean before once. He was in at the same hotel as me, but I never even said hello or made eye contact, really. And we just kind of talked about the smoking
laws.
Doesn't
count as meeting, then.
Right. And then this time, all right, watch this. I'm walking. Okay. I'm in the bathroom, right? And I think there's a lot of people there who I probably would have known if I knew things, but I don't know anything, so I didn't know anyone. You know what I mean? The singer for the one guy that I did recognize for sure was the singer for Queens of the Stone Age. He was right because
Josh,
yeah, because the bassist from Queens of the Stone Age plays in Moist Boys when they're out here. So he was on stage with his bald head and his goatee, and Josh was in the audience standing right next to me. Before the show starts, I go into the bathroom because I had to pee because I was drinking beer, right? And there's this very tall guy there.
I'm following you
in there with like a beret, and he's got like patches all over his jacket, and he's probably like close to 7 feet. And I think he was somebody because I saw some people saying hello to him and stuff. As I'm standing at the urinal, Tyler, some fairly obnoxious guy comes in who's obviously had a few too many, and he seems kind of like a frat boy, like an aged frat boy. And he has some kind of
was
like...
Was it a mirror? Okay.
Wow. That's
very awful. I'm just trying to be funny.
Wow. That's hurtful. Sorry. That's your co-host in there you're talking about.
Don't try to make me feel worse. I just know I'm going to feel bad about it.
Take enough abuse from Bri.
Okay.
So he comes in and he has some kind of riddle, like, what's 8 feet tall and something?
A dick.
And I'm just like, wow. You know, when you're in these clubs and like really small, tight bathrooms.
Yeah.
And it looked like the bathroom from CBGB's. It just, yeah. Like the urinal that I was peeing into, Tyler, was like cracked in half. Like, so like my pee is just like going into the urinal and most of it is just going down onto the floor.
That's delightful.
So I turn around and this guy pulls out like a big bag of cocaine. And then the guy who I think was somebody turns around and goes, oh, man, you read my fucking mind. And I'm thinking these guys know each other, but then I realized...
Did a music video break out in the bathroom?
They don't know each other at all, right? So this big guy who probably drove his, like, mom's Audi... I mean, not this big guy. The aged frat boy who's got the bag of cocaine. He's, like...
Was it a big bag of cocaine?
It was pretty big.
Because I would be suspicious of that.
Probably $200 worth. It was probably an 8-ball. It was probably an 8-ball.
Okay.
And it's in this little baggie. It's so funny because you spend so much for the drugs and they give it to you in such shitty packaging.
Yeah, they should, you know, I mean? They should up the packaging on cocaine.
You spend $40 on
at least a Tic Tac box.
Cigars, you're going to get like a really nice box, something heck you can yeah. like keep your money in or yep. like jewelry in for a lifetime.
Those
get a $200 bag of cocaine.
Those Doritos tacos come in their own little cardboard container.
It's
at
true,
least.
Right? So I'm going, oh, fuck, I don't want to do cocaine, but I know that I'm going to because I thought it was just, like, between friends, and then I realized that guy is just, like, trying to make friends with this other tall guy who is obviously somebody, and I don't know who he is. So there's four of us in there total, and I'm like, I got to get out of here before I, like, you know, get in on the party. So as I'm standing there, I'm zipping up, and I hear the guy. He's like, here, I got a key, and the guy with the coke goes, no key. I got a new way. I got a great way. Watch this. And he pours a little bit in his palm, and he's like, you just pour it in your palm, and you grind it up, and it's called a piggy. And then you just put your nose in there. It's called a piggy. And they're all doing the piggy, right? And I'm like, fuck. I got to get out of here before I do the
piggy. You got to do a piggy, man.
I don't want to do a piggy because I can't.
I think it's weird that a stranger would offer up cocaine to other strangers because it's so expensive.
I know, but I don't know what. I think this guy was
if
already...
it were my cocaine, I wouldn't even let you guys know I had it. I'd just go,
exactly.
I'm going to go in the stall.
Exactly. I would be so close to the vest. I'd be so like nervous. But this guy, I think he probably had a lot. He was one of those guys, very boisterous. And so I slip out of there, right? I'm not five steps out of the bathroom. Who's on their way to the bathroom passing me as I'm walking out? It's fucking Dean Ween. Mickey is just amongst us. It's before the show started. He's going to the bathroom. So I'm like, fuck, I have to go back in the bathroom now and pretend like I'm washing my hands because this is going to be a scene. Like, Dean Ween's
like you're washing the piggy off your hands.
In there, and they're all doing, piggies. So long story short is I may or may not have done a piggy.
With Dean Ween?
But Dean Ween was just kind of in there. Like, I never said hello to him or anything.
He wasn't like doing a piggy?
I don't know if he did a piggy because I like felt like a dirtbag because I was doing a piggy. And Dean Ween was there. He was a dirtbag, too. But
were any of them actually making pig noises?
No, but one guy was like, Team Piggy. Oh, the one guy that was doing
no.
I realized that he was in the band, too. So, like, half of the Moist Boys was in there. With
I like,
loud
the,
mouth
I like
guy
that the guy's
piggy.
Got a new way to do it. Which is the oldest way when you have no other way to do it.
It was no good either. Piggy doesn't get all the coke. You don't feel like you're getting the pig's worth. There's some going to the ground.
No.
Just like
pigs waste like... cocaine like no other animal.
And I couldn't even pick that guy out of a lineup, the guy that actually had the cocaine. It was, it was definitely one of those scenes, though. So Diener's standing in the stall.
Are you saying
he's
that
urinating.
In case the cops are listening?
He's urinating, and I'm doing a piggy feeling like a dirtbag. And then before Diener's even zipped up, I'm like, what am I doing? Why did I make a U-turn to come in here to do a piggy with, like, my idol?
I hate the something piggy.
You got to do a piggy. Here's the best way. Here's you grind it up, and it's called the piggy.
Not the best way, brother.
I think you know what I think is the most disturbing part about this is strangers would take what they think is cocaine from a total stranger.
Well, I didn't.
No, what I'm saying, it's a weird thing.
Yeah,
I said I did.
I said I did for the story, but
no.
I
but I mean, I would do it. Not now, but I would have done it. And I would be putting something into my bloodstream that a stranger gave me in a fucking bathroom.
Yeah.
Well, how weird is that?
You go to like one of these taco fucking trucks, and you're gonna put something in your stomach from a roach coat.
True, but they let you know up front it's a food item. This guy's has a bag of powder.
It was
Mike
weird
Carrotto
too.
For mayor for when, stricter bathroom drug testing.
When that guy first walked in, there was three of us in the bathroom. He made four, right? He walked in and he did his little limerick or whatever it was, or his little riddle. And he's like, "What's 8 feet tall?" And then, and everyone was just silent. Everyone was just like, "Oh Christ, is one of these guys? He's loud. He's drunk. The show hasn't even begun."
And all of a sudden, he's everyone's best friend.
And
he's got
cocaine. Then he pulls out the coke. He's like, "Answer cocaine." And everyone livened up. I mean, all three of us were like, "Oh hey man,
what's up, buddy?"
Like, it was like he could have, like, morphed into a super hot chick at that moment. And it would have been the same reaction. The piggy.
So, this is the second time that you've encountered Dean Wein and haven't said hello. But
that's
you,
right.
But, so,
that's
so
right.
as you come upon him, the circumstances are getting shadier and shadier.
Well, yeah, there's only been
so
twice.
What
so
is
far.
The next time that you're going to encounter him and not say hello? Is it going to be at like a murder orgy or something?
The first time was at a Denver hotel, a nice hotel, and you couldn't smoke in the hotel. There was like all, you had, it was the first time I ever had to sign a paperwork promising that I wanted to try and open a window.
Are they going to charge you $500 or something?
Right. So I was down in a little smoking courtyard talking to the guitarist of Wein, who was like, he's not officially in Wein, but he tours with them, and I recognized him. We were talking. He's a nice guy. And then
he's Wein adjacent.
Diener comes down, and he's just in a grumpy, angry mood, and he's like, fucking place. And I'm like, yeah, I know, you can't even smoke upstairs. But I wasn't even looking at him. This
and then
like
you're like,
six
oh my
years
God,
ago.
And then
you ground up your cigarette in your palm.
I'm gonna
like,
do. I'm
I got
gonna
a cool new
a
way to smoke cigarettes without lighting them. You can do it in your room.
It's called a piggy.
It's called a ciggy, a piggy ciggy.
I know the feeling because I'm a huge Pixies fan, and we were at a show, and my friend goes, "Frank Black's right next to you," and I tried to be cool.
Yeah, you kind of. It's
went,
weird. It's a
I
weird
went,
feeling.
Hey, Frank, and he just looked at me like, "You don't know me. I don't know you."
Yeah,
and I was like. All right, that's cool.
It's weird that you went for the hey first name.
Yeah, I purposely have not said hello to him or let him know that I know who he is. Plus, I think I would just be very disappointed because he kind of seems like an asshole.
And what if they came on Loveline at some point?
I got him booked twice back in the
like,
day.
You look familiar, man.
Piggy?
Have we met?
Piggy?
Oh, a bunch of times.
I sneeze. My hand goes
did
into my...
Did we inefficiently snort cocaine together?
My hand goes up to my nose.
He's like, dude, we did coke in the bathroom at Spaceland.
I don't do that honestly, again. I don't think he did any. I don't know. I slipped out of there. I got really... I got like a little girl. It was really strange. I got all like creeped out. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like pretending to do drugs. Because the guys, what I did was I blew out so that it went everywhere. So that...
What celebrity would you be most nervous to meet? Tyler, would yours be a professional baseball player?
I think it'd probably be Jimmy Page or Robert Plant.
Oh,
probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are good ones. Which one more? Jimmy Page?
I don't know. I think Robert, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. Bob is you know, I'd
Anderson?
Probably call him. I'd say, hey, Bob.
James? Jim?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no answer for that. I don't know. And I think that I wouldn't know that I'd be nervous around Dean Wein until it happens. Then like, twice now, I've been like, all, like, girly. Oh, what's wrong with me? I'm embarrassed.
I can't think of anyone.
Oh, no.
Mike, there's not a... What about Neil Diamond?
Yeah, good one.
You'd be nervous around people that have been in here.
You're nervous around Surreal Neil.
You're nervous around the guy that sings for...
yeah.
Mike, Social Distortion.
Mike Ness.
Mike Ness.
Yes, I was.
Were you nervous around Zach Wilde tonight?
Not at all.
No. All right.
Didn't know who it was.
It's such a cruel joke, though. Like, if you really like someone, you get nervous around them. If they could be huge. There's been huge people that have been in here, and I'm not familiar with their work, so I don't give a fuck. Couldn't be less nervous, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think there were some times when I was a screener that it was, like, somebody who's just, like, a nobody, but, like, I have them super exalted in my head, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like when It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia came in here. Way before they were big. I was nervous. But then they hung out for long enough that I forgot that they were famous. All right. So, yeah, the piggy happened, and that's about all I have to say about that.
At some point, I have a terrible new song that I encountered tonight on the radio that made me very mad, but then it made me laugh because I thought of your reactions to it, mm-hmm. which would bring me great pleasure.
All right,
rape,
let's go.
Great pleasure.
You want to hear it now?
Wait, I got one more thing to bitch about.
Right,
what
yeah.
show?
We can get to it later.
So there was a mosh pit at this little show, which was fun to see. Of course, I had to walk through. I didn't like, do anything. I just kind of walked through just so I could get closer to the stage.
You should have done a mosh piggy. That's where you guys all go in a circle doing piggies.
And what was really upsetting, and it's been a while, I guess, that I've cared to see a show, is that everyone's got to, even at like a punk rock show, people still got to whip out their goddamn phones now and start acting like they're photographers or something. And they spend so much time like making sure that they get the composition just right and the lighting just right. They spend way, way more time than they actually would if they were, than they're ever going to look at it. You know what I mean? Like for every 30 seconds they spend taking the picture, they'll look at it again in their lifetime for 1 second.
Maybe. I used to like record like video or whatever, and I'm like, first of all, I'm way farther away. Some guy who's in the second row is going to film it, and he's going to put it up on YouTube,
yeah.
and I can just go, I
Good
can
point.
Literally go see it in the morning. So
I was
why
at Lucinda Williams
it.
Last Thursday, and probably 10 people on the floor had their cameras up, and it wasn't for like 10 seconds, 30 seconds. It was for 5 minutes at a time videotaping. And I'm like,
now tell us more about the show. What is that? Let's see.
Granted, I do record fart barf.
The great Lucinda Williams.
Who is that?
She's a legendary, sort of country-ish folk singer, sort of.
She's the reason why Episode Zero aired as well. That's what
she's
not mainly known.
She's not the whole reason.
She's the main reason.
I told you in advance I was going to a show.
Right. And when you said you can't do the show before, you have to do it after. And then I started getting the nervous
texts. You're right.
It was like,
you're right.
What if the show doesn't start until 11 and then I'm just out $150?
You're totally correct.
And then you're like, nope, I'll just do it. I'll just come.
We
I'll
saw
just
the
show.
Tyler
was on the white.
No,
you're
right.
Doing?
That was my fault because I did think about that and I did go, okay, these tickets are like $58 each. And what if she doesn't go until 11? Then I just leave.
Plus, survey. What time is she going?
She went on probably 10.
On board. All right. Because of your
it's a good show.
Your mean comment to me earlier, and I'm a very
I didn't mean it.
Very sensitive little boy today. After hearing last week's episode and hearing what a chip on my shoulder I had, what a douche I was. I'm gonna bring this up.
Okay.
All right. So friend
now,
of the show.
Seriously, now all of a sudden I'm
well,
nervous.
Real quick about that first episode, people really liked that voice that you did that you've never done since.
What voice is that?
You were the tattletale. The person who went to go tell Dr. Drew what we were doing on the after disaster?
I have no idea.
Do you remember making this voice?
No.
I'll pull it up for you.
Okay, please do.
Okay, go ahead. Call me out on whatever
it's just
it is.
The way I was talking. It was just like, nah, dude.
Oh, Jesus. No, I hated myself and all those first episodes.
You sound the same.
No, but I was laughing at everything.
It's good. It's jovial. Jovial, Mike. I was the worst because I was just ready for people to make snide comments and be rude because I was still taking heat from being over at Ace, and I had a constant chip on my shoulder. Constant, like, I'm cooler
than
this.
I didn't really notice that. I think you might have been more self-critical of yourself.
I hated myself. Anyways, so, friend of the show, listener of the show, costume designer / hair and makeup on my film, Diana Vandekamp, friend, personal friend. She was in the hospital.
You bastard.
And Mike and I were supposed to go visit her, right? And, I can't remember the reason, but it had to do with a hike, so Mike couldn't go. So I went to see her by myself.
And
it was fantastic. Let me tell you, I've been to a lot of hospitals. I broke my back, so I've spent well over a month of my life in a hospital, and they're shit.
Can I just try
my
to
life.
Defend myself real fast?
That's all. I'm just.
We were going to go visit
no,
her.
No, you're a busy guy, dude. And you got plenty of stuff
to do. I had something
to do
in the morning,
and you.
Then... Like afternoon rolled around and I went for a hike.
I'm just fucking with you.
And that's when you called me and said, I'm going. And I was like, I'm on a hike.
Right, right. And then you couldn't go. So I waited until you were done with the hike. And then you said, now I'm too late to do my other stuff. It's fine. It's good. It would have been awkward if we went together.
I felt pretty shitty. It would have? Why?
Because that's not true at all. It would have been great. But here's what happened.
Would have been awkward.
Here's what this hospital.
Wait, you have two visitors?
I'm not kidding. So I walk in to see Diana, who she had a fairly serious surgery, but it all went. It was one of those parts of your body where if it could go wrong, nothing sexual, boys and girls, but just, you know, a vital part of your body where if it went wrong, it could go wrong. But she went fine and she was great. And she was like 30 minutes after the surgery, she was on Vine making snide comments on my Vine account about something mean that I did to Brian Bishop with his book.
I saw that.
She's in good spirits, and I see her like the day after the surgery, and I go in there, and her dad's sitting there with her. So I'm meeting her dad, I'm talking to her dad, and talking to Diana, and I put my foot in my mouth big time with her dad.
Oh.
Her dad's an old, well-to-do guy. He's been around for a long time. He's seen a bunch of shit. We start talking about politicians.
Oh, good move. Good move.
Why did you do that?
And I start talking about how...
Good move.
Well, do you know enough about her dad to know where this goes?
Yeah, he was the attorney general for the state of California.
I explained to him that I have politicians figured out.
He's been on Air Force One.
In order to be a successful politician, you have to be a megalomaniac.
Did you forget that he was a...
I didn't know. I don't know things about people. I know that his last name is Vandekamp and he owns shit. That's all I know.
She's been on here multiple times talking about how her dad is.
I tune out when people talk about their parents. I get bored.
Her dad's been on Air Force One.
So anyways,
More than once.
I said that in order to be a successful politician, you have to be a massive narcissist and megalomaniac, and she cut me off. She's like, well, my dad would know. He's the ultimate because he's run for governor and this and that. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, but not you, sir. Not you, sir. And then I was saved by a very nice woman walks in.
I don't have to listen to you and your snake tattoo.
Didn't sound like that.
You young upstarts.
A nice, nice woman comes walking in. She's like, like a priest or a reverend. She's something to do with the cloth, but she lets us know that she's not political nor really all that religious. She's just there to hang out. And if Diana ever gets bored, right now she's like, I can see you got a friend and your dad here, so you're good. But later, like if you're bored or lonely, like in the middle of the night, call, you know, just ask for me. I'll come in. We'll hang out.
If you start to die, I'll rush in.
That's what she says, right?
Last rites.
So, and then somebody comes in with like some magazines and some food, and then I'm leaving after like an hour, hour and a half, and this woman is walking down the hall. Hospitals are the worst. They're so creepy and depressing. But she's walking down the hall with this little cart with the cutest, except for Stanley, the cutest chihuahua I've ever seen in my life.
And is it like sitting. Therapy? She's bringing it around to patients?
She sees me and she goes, hello, do you know anyone that could use a therapy dog right now? I'm like, absolutely. Follow me. March her down there.
Oh,
to
I
see
thought you
Diana.
Meant you're, I pictured you rolling around the hall now with a dog on your stomach.
Like for me? Yeah. No, so I took the little chihuahua whose name was Arlington and couldn't have been a cuter
Arlington.
Little dog. Arlington. Arlington was so well, almost as well behaved as Stanley. No barking. Next thing you know, Diana's sitting in her hospital bed with Arlington, snuggling up with her. She's petting Arlington. I'm asking a ton of questions because immediately I'm like, how do I get Stanley into a hospital? I need to take him to people. Sick kids. But yeah, it was great. And then I finally leave and I'm getting on the elevator and a little person dressed as a clown that had balloons did a cartwheel off of the elevator.
Please, God, tell me you brought that little person into Diana's room.
Started skipping down the hall. I don't know where they were going.
I got more. I'm a therapy dwarf.
Oh my God, we all need to get therapy.
Why don't we create that? What do you know invent that?
No, you brought a dwarf dog. Is dwarf okay? They're dwarfs, right?
It's okay if you're in Lord of the Rings.
It's dwarfism, so it's okay to say, right?
I don't know.
Dwarfs are different, whatever.
So yeah, it was a good time. It would have been better with you there, but that's all. I wasn't going to bring it up, but since you said that I am an aging frat boy.
Yeah. And they're drinking beer, and they're making a mockery.
You've never done that voice again.
That's a good voice.
That
voice is actually more respectful than your impression of Diana Van Camp's dad.
Yeah, it's your impression, Tyler, not mine. Sir, I know you listen now. You're a big fan, and I apologize for any ill will that I may have brought the family.
If you're right, he is listening, hoping that you'll mention him because he's a megalomaniac. If your theory is correct.
All right. I went and bought a loaf of bread. I felt so guilty. I went straight to the market down the street into the pastry section and bought some Van Camp.
Do they still even? I thought they sold off.
Well, then
I think she said
further
the
insult.
Sold off the.
Yeah. I don't know.
You should have.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
What is?
I have something
getting
terrible.
Into a political conversation with her dad.
I have something terrible that may have happened.
Okay.
That's not terrible, but my little sister concerns me because she's worried that the rotund girl from across the street is going to end up growing up and finding out about this podcast and listening in horror.
That, how would that happen?
Well, it's pretty easy, and I was telling this to Jillian, too.
Because you put Listen to the After Disaster in a banner on your window?
She fucks with my front door. Who's to say she's not going to, look at a piece of mail, figure out, computers do exist, Tyler. All it takes is that she needs to know my name, Google it, and next
but
thing you know.
But you think she's savvy in that way?
She's not enough? Mentally challenged, but she will be old enough.
You know
that's
how
why
many people
I need
I've wanted to know more about and I knew their names and I've still never Googled them or
but
searched
you're
them.
Not a 10-year-old little girl without a car or friends.
I used to be a younger boy with those problems.
But I'm terrified now every time I talk about somebody in public that they're going to listen to the show. Like on my podcast. Every time I mention something.
Oh, no. Where do half of my stories take place? At the gym, right?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Tell the story.
So I'm just wandering from one machine to the next like a good little workout pad there, Ty. Somebody wanders up to me. Hey, man. Really good show last week. I'm like, oh, no.
What?
It's happening.
What?
And then in my head, I'm praying like a
movie show.
I'm like, well, what are you talking about? I always play dumb. What are you talking about? Because it's at my gym, my sacred gym, where like I talk a lot of my shit and take a lot of notes about what's going on around me and talk about it here. And he's like, yeah, you were bringing up, and he brought up some movies. I'm like, oh, thank God. But then, dumb fuck that I am, I got all nervous. I'm like, well, what about the aftershock? And in my head, I'm like, shut up! But no, he's a nice kid, Nate Marco, and he does listen to this program, and he's just behind.
I always want to talk about my neighbors and stuff, but I'm never going to.
I do. Come on, talk
about you're not
going
to talk about the one that you had a fight with for a year who lived above you?
No, that the old, that's, I'm talking about, and like, I have nothing bad about my new neighbors to say. I have stuff to say. Nothing bad, though, but I don't do it because I just don't want to ever have to face somebody that I've mentioned.
Should we just all slightly change our names for the podcast?
Okay. Mark Carano.
That was pretty quick.
Taylor White.
Sweet. What are you, Anderson? Anderson Cohen?
Yeah, you can just kill Cohen.
Done. Solves our problems. I'll just change all the information.
So I'm working on my my little film there in my office, right? A couple of days ago. Yesterday. And I hear some horrific sound going on way too long. And that sound is the truck beeping, backup beeping, right? Mm-hmm. Which is echoing through my neighborhood. So actually, it's just going on for a good 60 seconds right in front of my house. So I open the, I do that nosy neighbor thing with the blinds.
You didn't go out and tell the guy you can take it out of fucking reverse now?
He's doing like a 7-point turn. I don't know why he's doing that. Yeah. And every time he backs up, like more like old, crusty, caked on trash is
falling off
right in front of my house.
Is it a landscaper?
What's that?
Is it a landscaper?
No, it's a garbage truck. Like a real certifiable garbage truck with a little hinged arm on the side that picks up the, and like literally like trash probably from like years ago is I don't know if he's doing this on purpose because he's trying to clean his truck. That's how they do it. But he just keeps putting it in reverse and hitting the brakes, and like more shit's just like dumping out of the back of his truck. And it's not fresh trash. It's really old trash. So
but I guess maybe, fresh trash.
Maybe he's getting back at somebody who did something in the neighborhood. He's like, watch, fuck you. Watch this.
It's kind of overt.
Probably getting back at Anderson.
So I go out front like
talking shit on his podcast.
I have to like run some errands and I drive out front. I forgot all about it. And I turn right into it. Now I'm driving through. It's a glass and like it looks like old diapers. It's just awful. I mean, the street in front of my house suddenly looks like New York in the 70s.
You should call somebody and complain.
That was my plan until 2 hours later. I hear the scraping of a shovel. Like I live in Minnesota and like there's some fresh snow that needs to be removed from the driveway. And I'm like, hey. We could be like neighbors. That could be like a neighborhood, like come together thing. I always wondered what it felt like after a riot and everyone tries to rebuild the city. So I grabbed a broom.
I don't want to be part of the neighborhood team that picks up trash.
But it was better in the neighborhood. It was
you want to be the ones that stand around and drink iced tea while watching the other people do it.
Yeah. You missed a spot there, Sonny. So I grab my big broom, my big push broom, which I never ever use, but I have one in my garage, and I run out front. And the nosy neighbor who's constantly talking to me whenever I see him. He just happens to be driving by as I'm wandering out to meet my fellow neighbor, my brethren. So we're both, like, he holds up the shovel and says hello, and I hold up my broom and I say hello to our nosy neighbor who's driving. It's like a little thing. It was like a little gathering. So we spent like 20 minutes out there. I'm still sore from just sweeping all this shit up and talking to the guy, really nice guy. And, he's talking about how he's been in the neighborhood for 11 years. It's a really nice neighborhood. We're trying to figure out what the trash guy was doing, this and that. And then I'm like, so I've never seen you around. Which house is yours?
Uh-oh.
And he says, the gray one right there. And I'm like, well, where? Down there? He's like, no, right here. And he points to the house where the little rotund girl is. And I always thought that it was just her and her special needs sister and her mom.
Did you think
there's
about
a dad.
The time you heard the noise and you thought she was being...
Stop it!
Did you think about that?
Of course I did, but that was like just a little girl who
this
was,
is so weird because I thought your daughter was being assaulted,
no,
and then I
did
realized
it.
There's
I did
no
it.
Man there to do the assaulting, but now that I know you're there, I'm thinking it again. Oh, shit, I should
have
shut up.
Have you never seen him?
I've seen him drop her off. I've never seen him go into the house.
Does he not live there? Maybe it's his house, but he doesn't live there.
But why is he out front with me cleaning up the...
Maybe he's watching the girls and doesn't want them playing with broken glass in the street.
And diapers.
Listen, let me when I was on my roof snaking the vents in the bathrooms trying to fix another fucking problem, this house has so many goddamn problems. My pool water is black right now. There's things living in it. It's hell. But I was up there and I heard a little girl make one sound. She screamed like she was in pain and then there was silence again. And the whole reason why I told that story is because it was kind of a breezy, overcast day and they still have like the old... curtains that look like they're from the 70s and they were blowing in the wind and it was just a really creepy image with that sound.
Ugh.
Little kids make sounds like that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anyone was being
especially
raped.
When they're being raped.
It sounds a lot different and okay, it lasts
well,
longer.
To in you know, just to be this is going to sound bad, but if you're going to rape a little kid, you're probably going to cover their mouth. Right? Duct tape or something.
Subjects I don't want to think about too much.
No, I'm not thinking. I'm just saying, if you're a rapist.
All right, okay, let's move on. There's
you don't
no,
need to give any
no
tips to any, like, novice.
Rape in my neighborhood, all right?
Judge, you hope not.
My house is haunted, though. And he kind of confirmed that the lady that used to live there is dead. Or she died in the house.
She probably died in your black pool.
Oh, my God.
He's like, this neighborhood used to be even more quiet because it was just nothing but old people, and most of them just died off.
Anderson, what if you go outside in your backyard tomorrow morning and there's just a black handprint, like, as if someone was pushing themselves out of the pool?
There's feet prints.
I'd be really creeped out. I'm getting creeped out.
Going out to the door, out of the pool.
I dare you to go to your pool tonight after you're going to get home. You're going to park your car in the garage. You're going to run into the back of the house. You're not even going to look at the pool.
It looks like the cosmos in my pool right now.
Why?
Because I think it's mosquito larvae or something. I don't know, but you can eat, like, every inch of that water.
You don't put chlorine in there?
My pool guy just stopped showing up in December. Mm. And then I was trying to get a hold of him, and I kept calling him and calling him on behalf of the owner of the house because he wasn't, for whatever reason. And this guy usually would call me right back, but he wasn't calling me back. He wasn't returning my text, nothing.
Probably jail. He's in jail.
And then the owner's like, you got to get the key back because he has a key to my backyard. And then one morning I go out in the backyard and the key is in an envelope and it just has scrawled across it angrily, pool key, and it had been thrown over the fence and it's just on the grass in my backyard.
Did it say in parentheses angrily so that you knew that he was mad?
You could tell he's pissed. I don't know what happened to my pool guy, Noel. He just
good
fucking...
thing you've got Tyler, ex-pool boy, ready to come.
So tomorrow they got to come with a pump and just pump all the water and all the larvae out into the street. There's no rain.
No, then you can go shovel it with your neighbor again. Shovel all the tadpool and protozoa.
I'm sure if you dumped a gallon of bleach in there, it would make me feel better.
That's not going to get the job done.
It would make me feel better.
I don't think that would get the... He has to drain it completely. Oh, I don't want to deal with this.
There's not a drain at the bottom?
Yeah, but it doesn't go out to the street anywhere. It's a weird little pool.
No, that's how pools work. It just drains. You'd have to use the backflow system, and all right. I don't think your thing works.
Like siphon?
I don't have any pipes that go anywhere other than back into the pool. It doesn't go out anymore.
Can't you just put a heat lamp on it and let it evaporate?
I don't think that's how it works.
That's actually how it works.
Really?
Yeah, just one 40-watt bulb, you're fine.
15 years, that baby will be down at least 6 inches.
I should have brought in a specimen.
No, you
should have. I want to show you the little things that are moving back and forth. It looks like sea monkeys.
No, I know what that is, because my little radio flyer wagon that was kind of like, as we grew older, just kind of like discarded in the corner in the backyard, would fill up with water every rainy season, and then we'd forget about it. And about like February or March, you'd go look, and it was like a kingdom of squiggly swimming mosquito.
How about this? I have a question.
It's awful.
They don't take long.
When I was a kid, on the dirt road leading in the back way into my grade school.
Did you go to school in the 1800s?
In Tucson, there was like an alley which is would lead to the playground, and we would take the alley. That's the infamous alley where we found all the Playboys one year.
Infamous.
A truck would leave deep track marks, and then the rain would fill the track marks with water. So this was newfound. This is water that's only been pooled in a tire
trench. Yeah.
For maybe a day or two, and there will be tadpoles in it. How does that happen?
I want to do like a Planet Earth, but just really gross, dirty
urban
shit.
Yeah, that would
shit.
Be awesome.
Just but how does
urban.
That happen?
Like rats,
like two,
and
a 2 day
sewers,
like,
and
yeah,
stuff.
And
a 2 day puddle
in
that's
pool.
Maybe 3 inches deep, and there's tadpoles.
Yeah,
in it.
So like, a frog must have gone there and laid its little eggs, right? And then another frog must have come and spermed them. Isn't that how it works? Isn't it like fish?
I don't know how they. I don't know how frogs do that shit.
A lot of fish, they don't have sex. They just lay the eggs, and then other fish just come roll up on them and sperm on them.
It's tough.
It's terrible. That's what the grunion run is.
They
don't actually bang.
You're right.
And what a sad existence that is.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they don't know what they're missing.
Are you allowed to grab the grunions when they run out?
Yeah. There's certain seasons where you're allowed to.
Oh, that's upsetting.
I was on acid when I first saw them.
You think you're about to crawl out and bang, and then you just get scooped up and eaten.
Yeah.
Santa Barbara. No, you don't bang. It'd be like essentially like your wife, Lauren, ovulating in the corner, her eggs, and then you just go over and you beat off on them. I mean, that's how they have sex. Yep.
And then someone grabs you and throws you in a bucket. And takes you home. Or her.
It's the circle.
Let's do urban Planet Earth. Urban
it's
Earth.
It's not a bad idea.
Just all the horrible shit.
I think that song is so cheesy and so.
You do a whole thing like about it, like an abandoned toilet or like a porta potty.
I can see like too, like when Michael was talking about the tire track, like really good lenses and it's all pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Morgan Freeman.
You have to film a shot IMAX. As the tire rolls by in the trench.
I never thought about that song, "The Circle of Life," ever as being anything except for out of Lion King. And then when I saw Elton John, he opened with it, and I was like, "That's a pretty good song."
Who opened with it? What's
Elton John?
Oh, Elton John opened. Oh yeah, because he sings it. That makes sense.
But it was a big production. I mean, it was a big. It sounded good.
Hey, Impractical Jokers are coming into Loveland.
Yes.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched it yet.
All right.
But I will. All
right, do you guys want to hear a really terrible song?
I want to do a piggy.
All right, we'll do a piggy. The song might make you want to do a piggy out of wanting to kill your brain cells.
Wait, now you heard this on the way over and you want to play it
for us? I got in the car, turned it on. They're like, here's the new one from Chainsmokers.
What? That's really the name?
That's the name, yeah.
What station are you listening to?
I don't know. It wasn't a station that I normally listen to, but it was on for some reason.
Okay.
It's clearly a tongue-in-cheek. It's making fun of it, but it's still awful.
Should be playing by now. Should have already started. I should be hearing his squeaky chair.
When Jace was at the table, I kept on seeing him look at me while he's with that other girl. Do you think he was just doing that to make me jealous? Because he was totally texting me all night last night, and I don't know if it's a booty call or not. So, like, what do you think? Did you think that girl was pretty? How did that girl even get in here? Do you see her? She's so short, and that dress is so tacky. Who wears cheetah? It's not even summer. Why does the DJ keep on playing Summertime Sadness? After you get out of the bathroom, can we go smoke a cigarette? I really need one. But first, let me take a selfie.
This is like a current version of Valley Girl.
Yeah,
the Frank Zappa song.
Wait a minute. So, like, people who really are like this, Krista, and they hear it, do they?
I don't think they get it.
They don't get it?
They're probably like, I'm not like that. And they 100% are.
Like, I think that when I watch movies and, like, there's a really annoying character and I've run into plenty of people that are like that. It's like, what do those people think when they see
this
it?
Song is the epitome of a, I'm going to write a song that everyone's going to send to each other on the internet.
What should my caption be? I want it to be clever. How about living with my bitches, hashtag live. I only got 10 likes in the last 5 minutes. Do you think I should take it down? Let me take another selfie.
Okay, I think we get it. What about Liam Lynch's Whatever? Reminds me of that. Remember that song? That was a good one.
What did you guys think of the Oscars?
I wasn't watching them. I was very drunk in Arizona.
Wait, that song's terrible. Let's never play that on our show. The hell's that?
Oh, part of it.
Okay, stop it. I can see them playing this like at a club where everyone's on drugs.
Oh, yeah, people lose their fucking mind.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The song is called Hashtag Selfie. So, just...
I think that, you know, like when you look back in the 80s and like the zippers and the big hair and like the 70s, I have horrible, awful things. I'm not
what is the points that you're doing?
The 90s were, you know, the frosted tips and the flavor saver. Isn't everyone going to make fun of like how this generation was all hashtag this, hashtag that?
And,
right?
Throw up.
Everything you do for a living, pretty much.
This is definitely the least important generation.
Ooh,
that's kind of a strong word.
What is, though? It's because everything's so diluted. There's just nothing.
What?
Right?
That can be the least important generation when some buddy who's my age figures out some cure for whatever thing you're going to have.
Everything is so diluted. I'm talking about entertainment stuff.
They can just live longer to do nothing.
It's just so diluted. There's not really any inspiration.
There's better TV on now than there ever has been.
Not true.
Chips.
You're right. Chips.
Chips. Good point.
Jillian's never heard of Chips. Never seen Chips.
Well, once she gets a ticket, she will.
She got one a couple days ago.
On the freeway?
No. It's also worse television. Don't get me wrong.
What did you just say?
So there's also worse television.
You're right.
Don't get me wrong.
I think you're right, probably.
I thought the Oscars sucked.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
But apparently Ellen can do no wrong, and everyone was talking about the following day on talk radio, which I am want to do, to listen to, Tyler. I'm want to listen to.
You were listening to our Sirius channel?
No. Everyone was going on and on about how great she was.
She was all right, but
she was.
The Oscars. Here's my problem. I don't need to preface it with I love movies.
Because
I do
don't
love
like
movies,
them as much as music.
And I like the Oscars. But.
You think music is way more important?
There was a point during the Oscars where I went, well, first of all, I was also involved in a lot of family tension that night.
Hold on. Music is way more important than movies. Mike Carano. Carano's podcast.
I think it is.
Circa January 2014.
I think it is.
I'm quoting you. You actually said that.
I think it is.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so you're at the family dinner.
There was a point where I just became angry with, since always, but you know why? You know what my problem with actors is? They fucking take themselves seriously.
Because what they do is hard, though.
What Daniel Day-Lewis does is hard. and maybe five other
people.
Oh,
you're talking about Jared Leto. Yeah, he's horrible.
No, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about all of them.
No.
Getting up there with their serious bullshit
Matthew
speeches.
Matthew McConaughey was good.
The only person I thought was even slightly entertaining was Bill Murray.
Uh-huh. What did he do?
Threw a little love to Harold Ramis.
So the only guy you liked was the guy who was like a contemporary.
Yeah.
You like a guy who was popular when you were coming up watching movies.
Yeah.
Correct. Fuck.
Listen, it's the same old. People have been bitching about this for a long time, but what they do is not easy. Yes, they do get way too much. I think that they get way too much accolades and too much respect for it, but what they do is transformative, and most of us can't do it, and I kind of understand why people have so much respect for it. I mean, this is coming from a guy who loves movies.
It's easy to say that it's not that hard until you see some bad acting, and then you're like, oh, shit.
Try and act yourself. But yeah, because they believe
so seriously.
It's human nature, though, because if you're treated like a god and if you get to a place where you're famous and powerful and you have a bunch of money, you get to choose who you hang around with. I like to think that good people, well-grounded people, will hang around the same people. And a lot of time you see those people that hang around their high school friends, they're going to know what's up and they're going to be...
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. That's true.
Like when I'm getting popular, I'm going to drop you guys so fast.
I kind of got lost there because I was thinking Corolla and he hangs out with high school friends. But it's because he's still looking for vengeance and he likes to be their bosses now. Yeah. And that's why he hangs out with a lot of them. But if you surround yourself with sycophants, which I see it all the time working at Loveline, and they come in with fucking tons of sycophants who tell them what they want to hear and they believe it and they do think they get God complexes and they do believe that they are as important as the public.
More people they bring in, the worse they are. Like
every time.
98%
every
of the time.
Every time. Yeah, well, 99% of the time.
99.1.
But here, it kind of occurred to me just a few years ago as to why people give so much credence to actors. And I think we have this idea that they know more than we do because they have played in so many situations and played different people, and we look at them like they have all the answers. But all they're doing is reading other people's words
and a lot of them are pretty fucking dumb.
And a lot of them are not bright, just like a lot of people aren't bright. You can say that about basketball players.
I know a lot of people that do a lot of different jobs that take themselves way too seriously. I think it's just that those people you actually see.
Anyone who calls them
actors are in the public eye.
I just so much wanted somebody to get up there and go, oh my, I can't believe this. This is unbelievable.
Lupita kind of did.
Yeah.
She kind of did. I was hearing sad things about Akbar. What's the guy's name from Captain Phillips?
Everyone is making fun of that guy.
That poor fucker, I guess he's already completely broke because he only got paid 65 G's for his role. And now he's totally typecast and he can't get any other roles. How sad is that?
It's really terrible.
The guy's fucked.
Yeah. Well, he's not fucked.
Oh, he's better than he was, you know, a year ago probably. Yeah. But still, what do you do?
It's going to be awkward when he's on TMZ because he actually becomes a pirate.
And he uses his teeth.
But you know that where you see like an actor, especially if they lose weight, I mean, because everyone's so superficial. But if you see an actor who's playing like a gay guy with AIDS and then the next year he's playing like a powerful millionaire, then, you know, you look at them and you think, oh, that person knows what it's like to be all these things in the world. And you give them.
They don't know what it's like.
They don't, though. It kind of ties into this. I think I have a, I don't know if you got this too, and Tyler, I don't know if you do, but I look at most people, like, I think everyone's an idiot, but at the same time, I'll look at people and I'll think, yeah, that person, or like any random person, they probably have it figured out. They're probably much happier than I do. They probably have their shit together.
Oh yeah, I think that about most people.
Majority of people. As much shit as I talk, I do think that, but I think that I'm wrong. But if I actually let myself believe that everyone is as fucked up and as I am, then
you feel better.
No, it's worse. It's like I like to think everyone else has their shit together, so I can be fucked.
Yeah,
up.
Like, well, or like you can have something to aspire to. But if everyone else is fucked,
if
then
we're
it's
all
like,
fucked,
well, then what
it's
the hell?
So yeah, it's so
might
lonely.
As well just go get in the black pool.
Yeah, right.
Take a dip.
It's too terrifying to think everyone's fucked up as I am.
I actually freaked myself out one day because I started imagining everybody else feels like I do, and I was like,
and then they
all
do.
These people
they
are about
do a
to
lot
snap.
More than you do.
They're
than
all
you
about
know.
To snap.
They do a lot, but I think that we all kind of are like on this. Rubber band, like, you know, tight roping, thinking we all got it together. That guy's got it together. I don't think any of us do at all. I think every now and again somebody is really good at making it look like they have it all together, but they don't. But if I think about that too long, I'll freak out.
I think the people that, like, legitimately seem like they have it figured out are the people that are, like, really okay with not having it figured out.
I think that's the key.
Yeah.
I think the key is letting it go.
But you gotta just be Matthew McConaughey who's like, you know, I'm gonna get naked and play bongos in, like, in South America for six months a year.
He went so far for that role, I heard he actually got AIDS.
That's method.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard the same thing.
What sites are you guys checking?
All right. Yeah, so keep pretending like you got it together, guys. Otherwise, I'm going to freak out.
You know how people say, fake it till you make it? I think that's a bunch of bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Wow, this show's really...
Most people I know that have a public persona that's extreme confidence inside are just a mess.
With most, extreme confidence? Because they're overcompensating, right?
I guess. I've talked about it before, about comics, but the one guy that I've never seen a kink in the armor is like Jerry Seinfeld. I think he's comfortable and confident.
Well, he got... Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to... When I get high, when I smoke weed, I realize that no one has their shit together. That's one of the reasons why I completely freak out.
A little piggy, all of a sudden, everything's cool.
Oh, Little Piggy's great. Yeah, everyone's got their shit together, especially me. Let me tell you how it's going to be. Oh, Little Piggies.
No. Do you guys shake hands after doing piggies?
I don't know. I
like,
fucking
like
fled.
Blood brothers?
I fled.
I fled.
One guy, I told
what
you,
what a good drug user you are.
Well, he was so into the tall guy with, and then once Mickey was in there, he started talking to Mickey, and I could tell Mickey was annoyed. That's what it was. I'm like, oh, no, I'm being associated with the piggy guy. I got to get out of here. Because it looks like
I don't know him as
guy.
You're wiping the coke from your nose.
For the record, I didn't do any coke. It's a legend. And I blew out, like I said, just I was trying to be part of the group. But one guy did say, Team Piggy.
No.
Hashtag Team Piggy is what he said,
Team
actually.
Piggy.
He did. He said Team Piggy. And I'm pretty sure he was a guitar player, the young guitar player for the Moist Boys.
Team Piggy.
It was an enjoyable night, but I definitely had all those... While I was piggying, or after the piggy, I was out front, and I was kind of looking at everyone that was all fucked up in the rain, and I was thinking, these are just like all the outcasts and all the people that were cast aside, who I used to look up to and think, yeah, they're saying fuck you, society. But really, society's saying fuck you to them, and they're kind of just outlier. I mean, it's every now and again, somebody's got their shit together, and they're still part of that culture, but for the most part, they're all just abused children.
It's almost impossible to genuinely have your shit together, because everything is chaos, and you really don't have control like you think you do.
I met two guys that don't have their shit together in Laughlin. Well, I use the term
200.
I use the term met loosely, but two separate times I went to the bathroom while playing Pygow, and the first time I walk in and I'm at the urinal, and of course a guy sidles up right next to me when there's like 14 open urinals. So
you
that's
guys do
always
a piggy?
That's always like we did a piggy, and then we kept peeing, and he does the thing where he starts peeing and then like. The kind of half turn, so you know he's talking to you, but he's not doing the full,
right.
How are you? He does the, oh, that's the second best feeling in the world.
Oh, Christ.
And I'm just like, oh, my God, can I just please finish peeing and get out of here?
How old? How old is this guy?
Probably 65. Uh-huh. Wait, Mike, how old are you?
So the worst would be is if he faced you completely and just twisted his dick around.
That would be the worst. That's true. He's like, that's the first the best feeling. No, so
he's facing you 100%. He's just pointing
super polite.
So he says, you know, that's the second best feeling in the world. And he goes, you know what's the first? And some other guy walking out of the stall goes, yeah, I do, when the judge says you're divorced.
Oh,
and the guy's
man.
Like, and I'm just like, oh, God.
It's a terrible sitcom.
And the guy, right? And then the guy who was peeing who brought it up goes, ha, never thought about it that way. And I've been divorced 4 times. So that was nice.
It's your future, Tata.
I know. I was like, oh, dear. And then the second time I go to the bathroom, a few hours later, there's a guy having a hard night. Hard night. He's doing the pee where he's resting his head against the wall. And his friend is going, is it that bad, man? Is it that bad? They're probably, I don't know, late 40s, early 50s. And this guy is closed eyes, shaking his head, like grinding his forehead into the wall above the urinal. He's going, everything, man. Lost everything.
Oh,
everything,
no.
Everything I had, man.
Oh, that's so sad.
And he's like, you mean like what you brought with you? No, like everything is all gone. Is all gone. And meanwhile, he's just peeing, peeing, peeing.
Wait, so like his savings?
He's going, it's all gone. And then his friend's like, well, let's call it a night then, man. Like, let's go get some food. Let's like get some food in your belly and, you know, like it's all me or whatever. And he just goes, no. I got to win it back. I gotta get it back. And then his friend's like, I don't think that's a good idea, man. I don't think it's a good idea. No, I don't fucking care. I went back. But first I need a Corona.
I'm going to Vegas on Saturday for a bachelor party.
You should just hang out in the bathroom. There's good stories in there.
I'm going to lose it all and get it all back.
Plus I wonder
some.
How much it was.
I don't know, but he was like...
I would have followed those guys around for a while for more details.
He was looking in a bad way.
Yeah.
He was like red and sweaty.
Oh, man. That makes me sick.
It's crazy.
It's pretty uncomfortable. And I'm just like staring at the urinal, just like pee and get out, pee and get out.
You know you're immature when... Because I remember I lost like almost 4 G's. Or maybe a little bit more that a few years ago. I haven't been back to Vegas since. But part of me in my head, I was thinking like, oh, they'll do a do-over. Like, they'll say, ah, sorry. We can't really.
Yeah, it's like you're
part
a kid.
Of me, somewhere
it's
in my head,
kid.
Like you're a little kid. Like, ah, we
and
can't
your bike
do that
gets stolen and your dad buys you a new one.
Right.
You think we're actually going to take that much from
somewhere
you?
Somewhere in my head.
Mr. Like, Cowan, please. Yeah.
Like some guy in a suit's going to come and say, you know what? We shouldn't. That's like all the savings. We shouldn't do that.
No, don't blow it all this time.
We'll give you another chance.
So horrible.
And it's kind of true with the Total Rewards program.
I don't gamble
much. Free hotel.
But I'm going to gamble this Saturday.
Why? With your sobriety?
Thinking about it. No, I'm not going to gamble with my sobriety, but it's going to be tough. This is going to be a tough one.
Why is that? Who are these people? It wasn't tough in mine, was it?
Yeah, it was tough because I wanted to have some drinks. And this one's going to be even tougher than that.
Why?
These guys drink more than you guys do.
What?
Fuck, are you going to have any kind of wingman, sober wingman?
Mm-mm.
Have you talked to like your sponsor or anything?
I don't have a sponsor. I'm waiting for a good one.
Why don't you bring Drew? He's the ultimate.
You know what? He wants to do something on Saturday.
Is it this Saturday? Is it this Saturday?
No,
it's
like
next
that party
Saturday.
That you rolled
next
into.
Oh, no, it is this Saturday. Shit, it's like in three
no,
days.
Remember, he can't do anything this Saturday.
Oh yeah,
he's going to. He has to go hang out with his president of his college.
How? What a downer that would be if I bring Dr. Drew to a bachelor party that may or may not have drugs.
Wow, you think there'll be piggies?
Are we doing piggies? Oh,
yeah. There might be Dr. a pig. Drew there might be a pig farm there.
I'm picturing me like going like being a really good friend of mine.
You want to come,
Mike? I'll go with you, buddy. I'll be strong. I'm not going to drink. And just like 20 minutes in,
by the time you step out of the car,
I'm just like best friends with all of them. You guys look great. How do I know you?
Let's lose the fucking dead weight.
Hey, Mike, let's do balloon guy.
You should go to Death Valley.
Just probably right over there.
By yourself.
No, seriously, you should bring somebody.
You allowed to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, I wanna, you know, I don't know these people. If you showed up with somebody at my bachelor party, actually, that would be kind of weird.
There's got to be like a chaperone system in Vegas, right? There's got to be like a service.
A chaperone system.
So your plan is to gamble so that you don't have to be hanging out with all the drunk.
No, I'm
going to
hang out, but I think I'm going to gamble some.
Yeah, just to get away from.
No, with them, but I'm because normally I don't gamble.
That's tough, man. I have a lot of respect for you to be able to put yourself in those situations and prevail. That's great. That's good. And I know you will. Is this a really shitty speech? No, I'm serious. Because obviously, you know,
that's ballsy.
If you were to,
that's the den of
iniquity.
Everything.
If you were gonna, if it was actual reality that you could, you wouldn't even be putting yourself in that situation. So
did you read this, the Zach Wilde?
I'd rather not really read that. Okay. I was gonna read this little slip of paper.
Well, two things. He's got a new album out called Catacombs of the Black Vatican.
I run Loveline, so I heard that all night.
And he's headlining the Revolver Golden Gods tour.
Heard that a lot too.
Why are we promoting that?
Don't know. Mike has a problem not reading things that are in front of him. However, I've had this little nugget in front of me all night, and I've refrained, but I'm going to read it now.
Read it right now. Let's go.
So we had the screener system for Loveline, the pre-show, was out tonight. So, and we have fill-in screeners because, oh my God, quit a couple weeks ago. And we have different screeners every night now. There's like four different screeners that have filled in for, oh my God, bomb, bomb, bomb. So tonight, the screener system was broken, and they could take calls in the other room, but it wouldn't come through the little computers in here. So the screens were blank, and Mike and Drew and Zach Wilde didn't know who was on the phone. So what they had to do was they had to do it like the olden times, which was write down what the line number was and what the person's name was and what their question was. And I have a leftover one in front of me that I've been trying to decipher all night during this year program. And here's the question. He was on line 3. His name was Dylan, and here's the question. And it's scrawled in chicken scratch. It says, I like the ecstasy, and it's my house.
All right.
What the fuck does that mean?
Makes sense, in a way.
I don't know. If you're getting, like, poetic, like he builds his life around ecstasy or ecstasy around his life.
It's his house.
I like the ecstasy, and it's my house.
Did you take that call?
That sounds like those stupid notes that you write yourself that then we can't figure out what you wanted to talk about like in my
phone,
after disaster.
In my phone. I got one actually in there right now. I don't know what
or
the fuck.
Or it sounds
fuck.
Like a really, really drunk argument.
Jamaica Bob is all it says on my phone. I have, and it was written within the last week, and I have no idea.
Jamaica Bob.
It could be Jamaican bobsled because I just watch Cool Runnings, but I don't think that I would write anything.
Did you go to one of the weird bars around your neighborhood called Jamaican Bob?
There might be somebody that I met named Jamaica Bob.
I would assume. Sounds like a person. Definitely sounds like a person.
Jamaica Bob.
I'm Jamaica Bob, man.
Jamaica Bob.
We already talked about the Jamaican bobsled team.
Yeah. So that's not it.
But you wanted to talk about it again.
I've seen Cool Runnings since.
Ah.
Yeah, terrible.
What did you think?
Terrible.
No, it's great.
Fill in the blank Color Me Mine movie. It's a good story, too. Deserved a better movie.
Hmm.
All right. I like the Ecstasy, and it's my house. All right, we're going to wrap this baby up, right?
Wrap it up.
Oh, what was I going to... Have you guys been to... Have you guys been to Amboy?
Yes, I have.
He did a 5 minutes with Mike on it.
So yeah. Weird.
It was a 5 minutes with Mike about Amboy.
It's stay there till when it gets dark. It's fucking scary as hell.
Were you there when the guy has bought the town and he's like refurbishing it? What year did you go?
I accidentally stumbled upon Amboy when I got off the highway and decided to take Route 66, which
is... That's what me and Lauren did on the way back from...
Pothole fucking central.
Oh, yeah. There was about 20 miles where you can go like 10 miles an hour.
You got it. And then I found Amboy by accident and I stayed there till it got dark and took a bunch of pictures and made up 5 minutes with Mike. And I thought it was the greatest thing of all time. And then I went home and read about it and went back a second time. And what I read when I found commenters talking about how there's someone there and they don't like tourists and they've got a gun and they've got dogs and they will come out and point the gun at you and yell and scream, get the fuck out of here and stuff. And it got dark and I heard dogs barking and I was like, oh, shit.
That would be scary.
And I was very uncomfortable.
Oh, and New Year's. We got to go there and do it.
There's only
episode.
Like 3 people that live there. And
there's... I didn't see anybody. That school is boarded up.
One of them has dogs and a
tourism is the only thing that keeps it going.
I don't know.
Some guy who owned a chicken chain bought the town for $400,000.
Gus Farin?
Yeah, basically.
So, well, you know, hey, you want to know the good news? Huh. Alien Fresh Jerky is building a 3-story hotel in Baker that's shaped like a UFO.
That's not good news.
Yeah, what's the good news?
Why is that good news?
Revitalizing Baker.
Baker's a terrible town.
Baker's so
town.
Fucking bad. I'll be there on Saturday.
We drove through Essex, too. Essex is terrifying.
Worse than Amboy?
Yeah, there's nothing there except like a guy who lives in like a bus and stares at you.
Is all the furniture? Is all the furniture?
Terrible attraction.
But is all that? Is all that
60s?
Is all that 60s furniture still in that hotel? That motel?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
At
right?
Amboy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was a film crew like shooting. That's like what the town is for now. The guy who bought it, he bought the town for $400,000, and committed that he's going to restore it.
Okay, I don't know how they can film a fucking thing there because a goddamn train comes barreling by about every 10 minutes.
Did you hear about that? That train accident?
No.
On that,
yeah.
The set?
The second assistant.
Ugh.
Camera.
What was it?
Is that like Mickey?
Yeah, it's the same job Mickey has.
What happened?
They were doing. How did you not hear about this? I don't have all the details and the names, which is I don't even want to talk about it because it's such a touchy subject within the industry. But one of the Allman Brothers was making a movie or something, and they had some kind of dream sequence that it took place with a bed on a
hospital gurney, I think, on train tracks.
It was a bed, apparently, from what I heard from Mickey. And it was on train tracks on a bridge, a train bridge, a tracks on a bridge. And they knew that there was 2 trains coming, and they had it all scheduled out. And the one came, and then the second one came, and then they were shooting. And the girl with the sticks, who was like the second assistant camera, she was out there when the third train came, and it was actually the bed that got hit by the train and then knocked her on the tracks. And it was a huge thing. And they didn't have permits apparently, and they didn't know about the third train obviously, and it was just a huge, awful fucking tragedy. And
she okay? Just kidding.
They didn't do the memoriam. She wasn't in the actual Oscar memoriam, which pissed off a lot of people. But then they did put it on the TV screen, like if you want to know more about her or more memoriams, posthumous stuff, announcements. You can go to this website and they had her name and I think or maybe even her picture. I don't know, but they're writing her name on a lot of slates now. And yeah, terrible.
Yeah,
I can't. I got permits for my little movie. How do you not get a permit? And one of the Allman Brothers is involved?
And for shooting on a damn train track.
Yeah, I know. That one's... That's...
That'd be like, hey, we're just going to shoot on the freeway real quick.
Yeah.
I think it was somewhere in Atlanta, right outside of Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's a biopic of Dwayne Allman.
But why? I mean,
maybe there's part of his life where he killed a chick with a gurney and...
It was a bed.
He got killed by a train, right? He on his like motorcycle, he like crashed into a train or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Why is everyone so gung-ho to continue this program but me?
I'm done. I have to pee.
That's the wrong song.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm okay.
Sorry I made you feel bad about Diana. It wasn't a big deal. I understand.
I felt pretty bad about it already.
Well, here's some peppy drums.
You know what? Truthfully, I thought she was going to die.
And you didn't want to see her. Like that, you wanted to remember the young, vibrant Diana. You didn't want to see that.
Exactly.
The one that made your socks roll up and down.
I didn't think she was going to die.
Oh, you know what's happening? All right, so much inside baseball shit. But all right, Diana, friend of the show, talked about her already. Went to visit her hospital. She did have like a surgery that was somewhat serious, and one of her favorite things on Loveline, anyways, is the goddamn Stinky Pinky game that Mike Catherwood plays, right? Which is the rhyming of the names of things and fat feline. I mean, husky feline, fat cat would be the answer. And I tell Drew and Mike, I'm like, hey, Diana's recovering from this condition. She had a surgery. She's in the hospital. So you might want to say hello to her on air or something, or, you know, get better. And Drew's like, we have to do Stinky Pinky. I'm like, her condition, if she gets excited, she might die, Drew. She might die because of her condition. And you don't want to do that in case she's listening in the hospital. She could get so excited about it because she gets so excited about things. And Drew's like, okay, yeah, you're right. 10 minutes later, we're doing Stinky Pinky for Diana on air, right? So I'm like, Drew, you might kill her. What are you doing?
Oh, but it's going to be great.
So here's where it gets interesting, though. The following day when I see her in the hospital, I think it's a good idea to retell this story in front of her dad, who doesn't quite understand what
Stinky
Pinky is.
Stinky
doesn't
Pinky
know
is.
What Stinky Pinky is. Doesn't know what Loveline
he
is.
All the young hippie with the snake tattoo who just called him a megalomaniac.
They didn't
the
talk.
Guy that just called him a megalomaniac is saying that Dr. Drew wanted to kill his daughter, and he's very confused and upset by it.
They didn't play Stinky Pinky in the Capitol, is that what you're saying?
So he's just like, he's looking at me, he's trying to figure it out. I can see Diana's getting a little nervous. She's like, no, Drew didn't really want to kill me, Dad. He didn't want to actually kill me. It was uncomfortable. God damn it, why were you there to help
me? Yeah, I wish I was.
Mike would have made it better.
As soon as I walked in, I'm like, oh, I'm fucked. I see the man with the suit and the tie. It was like a nice green fancy tie, too. And as soon as I walked in, I was like, what do? You can't just turn around and go wrong room. I've already been.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, she's already said, hi, Anderson. I couldn't say that. Wrong Anderson, wrong room.
Wrong Anderson.
I knew I was just fucked.
You get the wrong Anderson all the time. Ugh.
What? What are you talking? All right, so let's do the show back like with the episode zero.
Like I don't talk?
Yeah, you don't talk, dude.
So that means we get beer at least.
We did crack into the mic at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was fun.
You know what was happening throughout the episode? Here, Mike, have another. You're like, no, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
I know. Is that too?
And I'm like, just sucking them down.
Yeah, and so you're like, I got 7. You want another one?
What was the worst drinking we did on the show? Was it Jack Daniels
machete
or was
night.
It
double,
or was it the
machete night.
But was it the eggnog?
Probably the eggnog.
I think it was the eggnog too.
We had eggnog plus another bottle of booze.
But we drank a lot of that eggnog, and that was powerful.
We were like,
there was a night where we killed like a really big bottle of whiskey.
Yeah,
we had the one with the handle.
Kyle brought that giant bottle in that one night,
and we didn't drink the whole thing that night. But the next week, when we did the other show, we did the other half of it, maybe 2/3 of it. I mean, the bottle was gone.
Well, that one night when we brought the wine from Corolla's,
I barely.
We were pretty
that.
Fucking hammered that night.
Oh.
Good night, everybody. Thank you. I got to pee. Bye.
Such a terrible show, buddy.
Oh, and all you new listeners, because I have access to how many downloads we get, and there are new ones of you out there.
Sorry, bud.
Come by and say hello. Find us on Facebook at After.
Tell them don't use that voice when you're inviting new people to come by. It's creepy.
Come and say hello. Come and sweep the trash up in our front yard with us.
Scrape. Scrape. It was really, really uncomfortable. And I think that he might have seen the terror on my face when I realized which house he lived in.
Yeah, that is a bad giveaway. When any other house he could have said, you'd be like, oh, cool. And then when he says that specific house,
I'm like, no,
your
which
eyes
one,
like
which
saucers.
One? He's like, that one right there. I'm like, no, but you mean that one over there? He's like, no, that one right
that
there.
That must have freaked him out. He's like, what the hell is wrong with this guy?
I'm like, are you sure you live in that house? He's 11 years, man.
I think I live in that house.
And then I said to him, I'm like, I've always wanted to like clean up a neighborhood after a riot, but I don't think I'll ever get the opportunity. So this is probably the closest that I'm ever going to come to it. And there's just silence. There's just silence. I'm like, and then I saw a penny in the middle of the trash.
Tyler, and I picked it up because I have that compulsion to like do something for good luck.
It's still in my pocket. You want it?
You should make a wish and throw it into the black pool.
Here it is. From the trash pile.
That's awful.
Let me see what year it is. God, are my eyes getting bad? I can't read this. Maybe because it's super dark in
here? You just have to feel it with your fingers. What year does it feel like?
Not a payoff. 2002. We got to stop making pennies. Good night.